So what's it going to be? Yay or nay?
Oh, Mark Stevens, he is up and about on a Wednesday afternoon here on the Big V. Hello, Steve-o.
G'day, Maddie. And Maddie, I think that little girl's bike's gone missing.
Was there, oh, stop it.
No, it was there in the foyer there for a while. I think it's been removed or destroyed.
Well, hopefully the...
Or just disappeared.
Hopefully the owner has claimed it. Because it's the most unsettling thing I've ever seen in my life. When I walked into that lift yesterday with Jimmy, the marketing guy, and... I thought, oh, your daughter must be, whose bike's that? He said, I have no idea. It's riding the lift.
It's real CSI areas, you know, opening scene, mystery, bike in a lift.
Stephen True King's got his fingerprints. Roald Dahl almost has got his fingerprints on this one.
It's a bit scary. True Detective? Just put a message out to any listeners that know a young girl with a bike. It's pink with a pink flag, training wheels.
Or if you don't, just come and pick it up and get it out of here. That might be a good place to start.
Because it's creeping everyone out.
0416 90 50 52. Before we get into the serious stuff, Steve-o, close shaves.
Yeah,
is this something you wanted to discuss?
I had one yesterday. I had to go into the pharmacy to get some medication. My wife, who's had a shoulder operation, so I'm a nurse at the moment, which is a lot of fun. That's why I'm hanging around a bit later today, because I'm in no rush to get home, to be honest. But we need to help out our partners, don't we, when they're in trouble. So I walked out, grabbed my keys, was about to step into the car. They dropped, bounce, 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 landed on a grate on Bridge Road and hung either side of the railing grate. So was in within a millimetre of the keys dropping into some turgid brown water through a grate.
Well, well.
So I was that relieved. So I'm asking the listeners, this must happen. If your keys fall into a grate, who do you call? Is it Grates R Us, 1300-GREAT? Do you call the council or do you lift the grate up? Because... they would have slipped down. I just grabbed them in time.
Well, if it's Cabrini Hospital in Brighton, you call the superintendent. So my wife was at the time was in hospital having had an operation at Cabrini, and I got in the lift on about the third floor. There's a gap between the lift itself and the actual, you know, the main area.
There's
a lift, a lift gap.
Yep.
Keys. Drop, fumble, 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 straight down, right down into the bowels of the basement of the Cabrini Hospital. Oh. Get to reception and I said, look, this shouldn't be a problem. Oh, I've dropped my keys and they're in the basement. Obviously, I just have to get access to wherever the keys landed. You'll have to talk to the super. I said, well, can you give the super? No, he's not starting till 6 p.m. or the night super. So I had to go into Church Street, Brighton and wait for the super to arrive, but in order to fill in the time, I had about 15 schooners, and then suddenly realised that even though I got the keys, the car actually couldn't drive it. So,
That's brilliant. Yeah. Close shave, 0416 90 50 52, or you can give us a call, 1300 652 927. I've got one. So yesterday, I received a phone call from someone who appeared on RSN throughout the day. I don't want to say who they were, but they obviously didn't have my number saved in their phone book, and they rang me, and I answered the phone. They said, "Is that Audi?" I said, no, it's not Audi. And they said, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm going through the phone numbers in my recent calls. I'm trying to get onto Audi because I've left my engagement ring in a test car. So they've taken a car for a drive and they've taken their engagement ring off.
As soon as you said Audi, I thought, well, it must be Fellgate.
That person... they said they are trying whatever they can before they tell their fiance what's going on.
So it was Fellgate. Wasn't Scott Cooney.
I don't think it was Scott.
That's a close shave. I've lost a wedding ring, actually, which is not good when you lose your own wedding ring. Playing cricket. Took it out, put it in a bag and lost it in amongst the gloves and the dirty jock straps. Not a good look.
Fell through a hole in the bag or something.
Yeah, lost that one. So new one on. But the close shaves in life, you tend to always get lucky though, don't you?
Mm. The baker says, Matty, you must have been trying to place a bet while you're on your phone when you dropped your keys.
Possibly, because he's referring back to the birth of my first child story too, when I was in fact doing exactly that. But that was at the Monash Medical Centre.
Oh, okay.
Not Cabrini.
Yeah. Anyway, close shaves, great topic.
Yeah, I've had
Steve,
a few
though.
In the past. Yeah.
You anyway, probably, as one of those door-knocking journos, you'd have those ones where, you, in a non-unrelated situation, you're walking towards someone that who know you know hates you because you've door knocked him. Like, say, walking through an alleyway or a park or something, thinking, "Oh God, here comes Mick Malthouse."
No, it's horrible. Well, I've sort of patched up with Mick Malthouse, but he used to walk through Richmond, and I'd be wandering, and I'd do a left down a lane.
Oh,
I had to avoid him. Things were frosty. No, I couldn't go head to head. We've sorted that.
One particular trainer, and one who's still training, who literally wants to murder me. Because of a miscommunication. He literally, if I ever run into him, he will kill me. And there was an ex-jockey who has a relative who rides these days too, who was going to whack me over the head with a 4x2 at the night meeting at Mooney Valley one night and was restrained.
Oh, wowee.
If he's listening, he knows who he is, and we could probably have a laugh and a beer about it now. But
hopefully you do turn left, Matt, when you do see them, because we don't want any of that happening.
No, we don't want a sole singular host on the big V.
Yeah, I often lose things. I reckon you'd be really organised, Matty. When you got home, everything would be hanging.
No. I lose things all the time. Yeah. Keys. Always lose keys.
Yeah. Wallets, passports.
I'm shocking.
Read it up.
Do you know who's had a couple of close shaves? Ben Cousins has had a few close shaves. He's got his life back on track, though, Steve.
Yeah, he has. It's great to see him running around having a kick of the footy, wasn't he? He's fit and raring to go. It's been a great story, really, Ben Cousins. He was in the world of pain there for a while. So let's hope he can stay, in the right lane in life. He looks pretty good, doesn't he?
Is it time that we, we said, righto, it's Hall of Fame time for you, Ben. Is he in a frame of mind and a space to be able to do that now, or is that ship sailed?
Yeah, I think
is the reason why they may not because they fear a relapse?
No, I think with the Hall of Fame, there's always a rider there, this fine print that it's also character-based, criminal record, these sort of things come into it. It's not just your playing ability, and that's held back some players for a while, but I think it's time. Everyone makes mistakes, and it'd be a great award, I think, an induction.
I think it would be.
He's not in already, is he?
No, he's not in. He's not in the Hall of Fame. No, but it would. I think it would just cap off a real redemption story, you know. And I don't know exactly how he's going, but from all reports, he's going well, Steve, as you say. So
is Gary Ablett Senior in the Hall of Fame?
Yep.
Yeah. There's a discussion. He's not elevated.
Ben Cousin gets in then.
Well, he should be a legend, but he's not elevated for that because there's still that background murmurs going.
And that's why the AFL waited initially to actually induct him in the first place. So.
But if you pound for pound compare Ben Cousins and Gary Ablett for the worst thing that ever happened scenario, then if you let Gary Ablett Senior in, then Ben Cousins gets a ticket in, doesn't he?
Yep.
Who should be the next legend into the Hall of Fame? Is that a bit of a tricky one to answer on the spot? But
I would have thought Jason Dunstall, because if you look at pure goals, what's he, third on the goal king or second?
Third.
On pure goals, if you're third leading goal kicker of all time in history, you deserve to be a legend of the game.
Mm. Probably can't disagree with that.
Plugger's a legend, is he?
Yep.
So Dunstall very close to him, though. Parallel careers in many ways as far as goals. And he's gone on to have a good career in the media. So, no, definitely.
If you had your life on it, it's 55 metres out on a slight angle and you needed your life was on the line, Dunstall or Plugger?
Ooh, a slime ball. I'd probably go, if from 55, I'd go Plugger. I think it was a slightly longer kick. From 40, I'd go Dunstall. You didn't miss many Dunstall, but just probably from 55, Plugger. He had a long leg.
There was no kicks around the corner back in those days, Steve.
But when's your uncle coming on Big V Racing? I mean, with the
I thought we had a bit of a heads up with you in here and nothing from Plugger.
Well, the ratings are already going well, but a further boost, if we could promote Plugger in a week or so's time. I know I've spoken to this privately with Andrew Bensley. We'd love to get Plugger on.
Signing, invite some listeners to come in and meet Plugger.
We could do an OB.
I don't know if that part would go down all that well. you're pushing your
back. We could involve a sausage sizzle like for the Warrnambool Carnival type thing and a sausage sizzle associated with it.
I think you're pushing what might be possible already. Hey, what about this story I see, Steve-O, that we're already considering a 20th team into the AFL?
Yeah, there's rumours and murmurs about Norwood, who are a powerhouse in Adelaide, making a push. I suppose if you're having 19, can you have 20? So you can't blame them for looking at it. You need an even number, ideally. But can Adelaide have three teams? I don't think so. Norwood are a powerhouse over there.
Yeah. Well, I just don't think the AFL needs 20 teams right now.
No, they don't. I think it's a long shot, but you can see what they're trying to do. If they bring in 19, why not 20? And then maybe we could have everyone plays each other once.
Well, that's another thing that I don't quite understand. Why do you have to have an even amount of sides? What's wrong with a bye?
I don't think the bye is ideal. It gives you an extra game for TV purposes. So you've got 10 games around.
Mm.
So that's money, more money in the coffers. So the bye makes things a bit messy as far as the ladder and who has weeks off and the breaks. So you can see that 20 teams could work.
Mm.
But I don't think Adelaide could house three of them.
I think before we worry about getting even a 19th team into the comp, the team that was 17th into the comp, they probably need to just focus a little bit more there, Steve-O, don't you think? It's been a long time since they were inducted into the league and they still haven't played finals football.
Yeah, they haven't played finals footy. They really need a total overhaul. The jumper's crap to start with, don't you think? That hasn't changed since they came in. So they need a rebranding, a new jumper, a stronger personality. And Stewie Jew's obviously, I think he's under pressure because, you know, they should have really beaten Essendon on the weekend with what they had on the park compared to the Bombers. Mm. They had all their chances in the third quarter. They kicked 4 goals, 6.
Mm.
Imagine barracking for the Suns. If there's anyone out there that does, text in. I'm not sure there's too many, but they're a frustrating watch. They've got so much talent, and they just don't get it done.
And the biggest story with them of, you know, like getting fans and members and all that sort of stuff, the Gold Coast is a funny place for transient kind of retirees, middle-class retirees and stuff. It's not the sort of place that gets a lot of membership.
No, they're pretty relaxed up there. I mean, they'd rather go fishing than watch the footy, which is fair enough.
And the races as well. Now with the whole redevelopment there at the Gold Coast Race Club as well. Don't underestimate how big an impact that is going to have, you know, in terms of a thing to do for people up there.
Don't families with kids drive memberships because everyone gets on board? But Gold Coast is basically the demographic is people with adult kids who are now 75.
Oh, no, there's a lot of families up there living maybe the outer suburbs there, but it's a growing area. But I just think they're wired differently. They don't... they're not in a routine of watching footy. And if you watch the local news up there, they have a weather and a whole fishing segment every night.
A fishing segment.
That sums up their life. You have Jane Bunn and then...
You've
got to
go with your strengths.
Fishing. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So fishing's huge. Boating, they're a totally different breed. So good luck to them.
Here we go. SMS come through. Sun supporter here from Melton. No finals this year and I'm out. So an ultimatum.
Well, it's going to be tough at 0-2. Having said that, I reckon they can knock Geelong off. I've just got a feeling that's a danger game up there, particularly if Jeremy Cameron doesn't play. Baby Jew, he's got sore ribs anyway. He's a bit wet and slippery. The Suns get on a roll.
What price are they? Have to be about
$5.
They're
about $3, I think.
Oh, $3, a bit short for me.
Well, Mikey's nodding. Well, Geelong aren't going too well. They don't seem to have too many players coming back this week.
Mm. That would be some upset. The Suns, if they could knock off Geelong, $3.10, there you go, yeah. Might be a little play for you on the multi on Friday, Steve. Here we go. John Nichols is a legend, but did time in jail for fraud. That's from Eyes.
Yep.
So thanks for your input, Eyes. Chris from Hobart here. Have a bloke in the office I've converted from the Suns to North. All it took was an elevator
transition.
Pitch. An elevator pitch.
From one terrible Guernsey to another.
Oh, the North Guernsey's pretty good, that traditional royal blue,
the blue
and white.
White stripes.
But that GC Guernsey, seriously. That was
it's the emblem.
That's the first thing I'd do if I'm Ozmark Evans, the CEO, is fix that. And the colours, it's like eggs and sauce. No good.
Well, Hawthorne's always... The reason why Hawthorne membership's down is because it's just got pooey colours. So, hey, is membership still the best barometer of the success of the AFL?
Membership's going up and up, but what happened now, Matty, is they now have sort of 3-game memberships, 1-game packages, 9-game packages, 12. There's so many different packages. In the old days, it was 9 or 11 home games, and then you could add it up. But I think I would totally disregard the AFL membership numbers. I would just look at revenue. So that's the only way of looking at it. Each club's membership revenue that they're bringing in. Because a lot of these memberships are so small.
Mm.
Hawthorne used to include pet memberships in there, budgies. All that. You could do a pet membership.
Surely not.
Yeah, they used to slip that in.
Yeah. I always wondered how they factored that in because you can get half-price memberships, one-game memberships. Like, does that equate to the same value of one person?
Well, they are in these numbers, so they need to break that down or just pure revenue, and that would underline which clubs are going best.
It reminds me... just before we go to the Meadows, some race clubs, when they try and tell you how successful they were, when they have like digital imprint of, so someone vaguely touches an iPhone, that to them represents engagement in whatever they put on. I'd suggest that there are different tiers of engagement too, just quietly.
0416 90 50 52 to continue to let us know what you think. Get involved. 1300 652 927. There's a text that I'll read out on the other side of this, and then I've got one more for you, Steve. Up here on the Big V, you're with Matt Nevitt, Matt Stewart, and our AFL editor to Mark Stevens. This is an interesting text message, Steve-O. It's from Tom in Port Melbourne. He says, Adam Goods is the next Hall of Fame legend. It's clear.
Well, I think he'll go close, but he'll need to bide his time. I think there's others ahead of him. Is he saying for impact on footy with the Indigenous culture and whatever, his impact in that area, which has been significant?
And that's exactly what the AFL selection committee, whatever it is, they do take into account. There's, like you said before, there's quite specific criteria, especially when it comes to the legend status in the Hall of Fame. I just wonder whether or not the AFL will avoid inducting Adam Goods as a legend purely because of the potential backlash and coverage that it will get. Because let's not forget, I think Adam has knocked back still a lot of things. He's still not quite best friends with the AFL, Steve.
Well, he may not turn up. That's the problem. That's but I think eventually he'll get in, as he should. So, is there such debate about the Racing Hall of Fame, Matty?
Well, the Racing Hall of Fame's not just players. Is the AFL Hall of Fame purely players? Like, you want to get legends, say Costa, people like that, those major...
Presidents probably not. Yeah. Media can, umpires, officials.
Is Eddie Maguire a legend of the AFL or...?
No, he's not, no. But you don't have to be a player, do you, Steve? I thought there's media identities.
Yeah, media's in there, administrators.
There was a massive push, which I agreed with, and I think Shane Anderson actually led it. So we did agree on one thing, that for Sub-Zero to be included as an associate because of his impact on promoting the promotion of horse racing through schools, retirement homes, everything. You could widen it to, even if you don't know you're being a promoter, like Sub-Zero probably had no idea, but it still doesn't mean he probably didn't deserve it.
You'll be going in soon, Matty, I assume. There'll be a push there amongst the officials.
I would think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Race of Victoria and Racing New South Wales would be really pushing it hard.
Steve, make sure you tune into racing.com. Is it next Tuesday, maybe, or the one after?
No, it was supposed to be, but then I realised I was in Sydney.
Oh, yes, right. So a couple of weeks' time.
You're doing some TV work.
Yeah. Tuesdays with Terry.
Yeah, I've been...
Feature interview, Matt Stewart.
Terry obviously ran out of guests. Yeah.
That's Terry Wallace's old thing he used to have on a Tuesday. They've stolen the idea. Tuesdays with Terry, okay. Yeah. What, you're going one out, your life story, is it? You bring in some photos from your childhood, all that stuff?
Yep.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
Oh, this will be huge. Because I met the other Matty Stewart down in Warrnambool. He's a good bloke.
He's a ripper.
I know, so you said he's a good bloke. there has been some nice confusion over because... For a while there, people didn't understand that there were two Matt Stewarts, and he and I had a bit of a laugh one day about the fact that it's worked occasionally in our favour where people didn't distinguish between the two, and they thought, whoever this Matt Stewart is, gee, he works hard. So we both sort of benefited to some degree before, you know, they realised that we were two different people who didn't work really hard at all.
I'm still disappointed you're not coming to the Bull Carnival, Steve.
I think we're there.
Oh, you are? Okay. Backflip. All right.
No, I believe so. All right, well, that's good. Changed. Oh, no brekkie now.
Yesterday, this is interesting,
no,
Steve.
Off.
We've been
we didn't make the cut.
We're talking about it over a beer. Nah, anyway,
we've been totally floating off. The idea of creating a Bendigo Carnival, Steve, over a couple of days. They have a couple of great race meetings, but Matty Stewart and I and a few others think that it could do with a little bit of tinkering.
Yeah, I've been up to Bendigo on our end of season cricket trip for the races up there, the Golden Mile. Mm. It was a great day out, but I think it's undercooked.
It's a sleeper.
It's got a lot of potential because it's... What I find with Warrnambool, I love the place. It was great to get there, but that 3.5 hours, just that extra hour. Like Bendigo is 2 hours at the most. Yeah. You zip up and back.
It's easy done.
Well, yeah. See, my take on it is a beautiful destination. It's not just one of those, you know, but there's still a lot of country towns in Victoria that aren't a destination. Bendigo's a destination. It's got the most famous country racetrack in Victoria, the best country racetrack for overall beauty and aesthetics. And I've always thought that the Golden Mile, all eggs have to be put in that basket. I think the Bendigo Cup should be absorbed into it, becomes a Bendigo Cup Golden Mile or something. Really, really hammer the local engagement because it's a rapidly growing town like a lot of these other big towns. So it was interesting having a chat to Josh Julius, who's a local trainer who's got Just Folk running in the Golden Mile, and he sort of volunteered his own view on it, and this is what he said about, and it really fits in with some of the thoughts that a few of us have been having for quite some time, and this is what he believes a Golden Mile could be.
I've actually got a pretty far-fetched plan to throw towards the Jockey Club at a meeting in the not-too-distant future to try and get Race Victoria support to have a carnival here on the weekend. Obviously, Warrnambool's around the corner, Swan Hill's behind that. If we could sort of tick that off, get our Bendigo Cup or something like that at the same time of year.
Oh,
we could have a mile race
and
a sprint race on the Saturday
here.
And have a cup and a two-year-old race on the Sunday. It'd be it'll be a hell of a weekend in Bendigo. You get all your racing regulars on a Saturday and get all your family there on a Sunday. So it'll be a terrific weekend. And if you could tie that in with a Caulfield Cup or a Melbourne Cup qualification or anything like that, the depth would be huge. So I'm only a little old horse trainer, but that seems like an idea that I reckon might have a bit of merit. But whether it does or it doesn't, well,
every element too. Like when it's run in the spring, the Bendigo Cup. Mm-hmm. It takes you nowhere. It's not a lead up to anything anymore. It just sits there. But the Golden Mile, everywhere you look after the Golden Mile, you go, wow, Brisbane,
yep,
launch pad, Adelaide launch pad, second half of Sydney launch pad. Gorgeous time of year. The one box they have to tick, and I was under the previous administration up there as well, as others were, about I think you have to aim higher than you currently are with your engagement with the community and the sort of crowd you could really expect to have if you really hammered it locally. Then COVID got in the way. So when the new CEO yesterday said, oh, we might be hopeful of getting five, I don't think it's to me, it's like the Jericho Cup. The Jericho Cup should get 15,000 there in the future. That should be really promoted that way. Golden Mile should be the biggest or one of the absolutely biggest country things we put on in Victorian racing. And why wouldn't you aim to get 10 to 12,000 there in the future?
No, I couldn't agree more. Do you think, I know Josh was suggesting Saturday, Sunday. Would Friday, Saturday be, I'm a bit of a fan of a Friday, Saturday.
I'm not sure I necessarily agree with the two-day festival thing. I think all eggs in that one big race day basket. But if you can get the community involved and you get a accommodation take-up where people think, yeah, I really want to come up and stay.
Well, that's the sell, isn't it? Yeah,
That's the sell for a Friday, Saturday. But I think people only need one race meeting. Okay. I don't think they need a doubleheader.
Yeah.
What do you reckon, Steve?
Yeah, what do you think, Steve?
No, you need a doubleheader. You need a Friday, Saturday because you want to go up and stay.
Stay, yeah.
But do you have to go to the races both days to stay to warrant going to the races on the Saturday?
You can do whatever you like.
Yeah.
But it kind of does lend itself to that, doesn't it?
Probably. Look, I certainly don't object to that idea at all, but it wasn't front of mind. But Josh Julius, at least we're all consistently of the view that something big is brewing with the Golden Mile and there's a lot of potential.
Great discussion. Ronnie says 18 teams should be the limit in the AFL. The standard of footy is not great. The backwater that is Adelaide couldn't sustain a third club with South Australia's minuscule population. So he's given them a whack.
Yeah, I think the standard of footy is pretty good.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah, it's not too bad. I never get, well, I never buy into that debate around the standard of footy. I can never quite get into it. I find it too hard to say whether it's good or bad. Footy's footy, don't you think, Steve?
Yeah, I think footy's as good as it's ever been. It's more attacking now than it was 10 years ago. So we're on a winner there, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's better, a footy game with peerlessly high skills, or one where it's a real scrap? I mean, sometimes a scrap's a better spectacle.
Yeah,
isn't
absolutely.
It?
Yeah, I find about 12 goals each is a good game. I don't like shootouts.
No, I don't like shootouts either. I like a good contest.
Too stressful as a supporter. Yeah. Too many goals one end, another end, and too much happening.
Good contest between bat and ball is what we want.
Yeah, good arm wrestle is always good. So speaking of that, a big test for the Bulldogs, of course, tomorrow night. Luke Beveridge spoke today. He really had his game face on. It was a big press conference. We'll have more on that later. But he's asked a lot about Josh Dunkley. He didn't buy into that. He said, I've got too much on my mind. And he was asked about Dunkley saying the Dogs don't really run in the preseason. And he said, well, we do all our running in the footy drills, not interval running. So basically explained that they get their fitness through chasing footies around rather than running laps.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting.
Hey, just before we let you go, just in case you're interested in this too, remember yesterday we had a really good discussion to Dean Winter, the Shadow Racing Minister in Tassie.
We put him on the map.
About the Ben Yole situation. And he, Dean Winter said, this is the Shadow Racing Minister, said in Parliament tomorrow, which was yesterday, he said, we're going to call for a no-confidence motion in the Racing Minister, Madeleine Ogilvy. I've read the transcript from the Parliament yesterday. There's some really, really strong accusations and strong language and so on. But the end of the day, the no-confidence motion against the current Racing Minister, who hasn't been there that long, Madeleine Ogilvy, failed. They didn't get the numbers to push the motion. But the language and the accusations and the question and answering was absolutely volatile stuff. So at least it's been fleshed out in Parliament, and the whole thing's up out there now. Now it's up to the Ogilvy government and others to make this review a worthwhile one and address the issues.
They better get to work.
That's a good political report. Thanks, Paul Borgiorno.
I used to love Peter Harvey. Can I do my Peter Harvey?
Yeah, do it.
Peter Harvey with the Prime Minister. Bangkok.
Bangkok. I thought you were going to say
it was Khan. A political leaders convention.
We are losing our way. Steve, I love your work. We'll hear from you throughout the afternoon.
Thanks.
There's our AFL editor, Mark Stevens. Plenty more on the other side of this.